So y'all ready for some current events? August 19th, very exciting stuff is going on in the world. And remember, this is not doom and gloom, everybody. This is the most exciting time we've ever lived in. Wow, one person. This is not doom and gloom. This is the most exciting time we could ever be living in. From the beginning of time, remember, I told you in the beginning, Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, I told you in the beginning, it was already told what would happen at the end. We get to read the whole Bible and live at the end of time and see that everything was true. Can you imagine that? Other people just had to go, okay, well, I think so. I don't know. We actually get to read the whole Bible and say everything that said was going to happen is now happening. How much more so should we be firmer in our faith and stronger in our faith than anybody else? We actually get to see the whole thing is true. The whole thing is true. So why do we go over the whole thing? Because our faith needs to be built up for such a time as this. So our first current event, what would an Islamist invasion of Israel look like? There is a video that is out that has Iranian extremist organizations with the government, and they've produced a video. And what does it look like to have jihadist operatives, including Hamas, Hezbollah, from ISIS, all the Islamic extreme groups, what does it look like if they were to march on Israel and take over Jerusalem? So they actually put a video together. This is what it's going to look like. Not what will, this is what it will. I mean, it's not a question mark, this is what will happen. It says this video clip calls on Muslims everywhere to unite for the inevitable destruction of Israel and the final caliphate. Now I want you to understand, this is a government putting this out. This is a government that we're making nuclear deals with. Well, so you mean we could stop it? No, you're not going to stop it, but we are still responsible for what we do, right? Right, everyone? I'm not going to stop Jesus from coming back, but I'm responsible how I live my life until he comes back. The video shows soldiers and operatives from the Iranian Revolutionary Guards, the Iranian-backed battered organizations, Hezbollah, Hamas, and much more. And in the video, the narrator says from the Iranian government, the youth in our country who are living today will see the end of all things come to end during their lifetime. Well, who cares? Because, you know, interesting enough, when Israel became a nation again, God's word said that the generation that sees Israel become a nation will not pass away. Yeah, but this isn't the Bible. Jesus said, and we're going to go over this several times this week and next week, the Bible says to know the current events of what's happening, right? Because you'll know the season of my return. You won't know the day or the hour. You know the season. So pay attention to the current events. Matthew 24:33, Luke 21:36. So I'm paying attention to what's going on. And this caliphate, this one world religion / government monetary system who been waving these black flags, we're going to talk about more of that tonight, who's letting the whole world know the end is here, where this is the last time that we're ever going to have to do this. They're saying this is it, we're going to go attack and we're going to form a coalition. And when I read this to you tonight, what's going on in the news, you're just going to freak out. And it's like, this is in a good way, don't freak out bad. Freak out, cast all your cares upon him. Okay, so you're going to be so excited. Why? Because the end is about here, and we get to see Jesus. So if a nation is telling you, not religiously speaking, this is their traditions. Remember, the book, the Quran, and the Hadith is the book of traditions, meaning this is how they do, and when you do this, this is what happens. So their traditions say when they go ahead and they put the wheels into motion, this is what is going to happen. They are bringing the end times to pass. So they're saying, hey, the kids, our little kids right now, you are going to see the whole thing we've been talking about in the Quran. Why? Because we are going to make it happen. Everyone saying that? Allah isn't making it happen. They are making it happen. See, the God that we serve, he makes everything happen. They are the gods in their life. They're actually making it happen. Allah doesn't make it happen. They're actually trying to bring him here by their actions. So earlier this month, the Ayatollah Al-Khamenei released a new book. Okay, so the whole country and to all Muslims, anybody in the Islamic faith, gets this book, okay, from the religious hierarchy, the top that you can get in Iran. And he released a new book titled Palestine, which outlines his outlines why Israel must be wiped out. Once again, this is the country we're doing the deal with. So he just penned a book. It'd probably be on the New York Times bestseller on why Israel should be wiped out. He said it's practical and it's logical on how we are to take out and already are taking out all those around Israel and taking away the United States' influence in the Middle East. I mean, this is excerpts right from his book. He said, not only are we going to rule Israel, but we will take our rightful Jerusalem back as well. It's in a book. They're shooting videos. I'm telling you, if you weren't a believer, I'd be freaking out right now. I don't know what you do. So what are you and I to do? We're supposed to have this information and share with you. You know what? The word's already covered that. Bible's already talked about this. Let me share with you what's going on. This was prophesied so long ago. No, you're reading the Quran. Now, the Bible said that there was going to be an end times caliphate, everyone. And there would be 10 Islamic nations that come up against Israel. This is right out of the Bible. They have their end times. I just want to make sure you guys understand this. Their end times parallels ours. They are creating theirs. We are living ours. We're just waiting for Jesus to come back. They're trying to bring Allah here. Okay. The U.S., secondly, the U.S. may pull out of Sinai. The United States may pull out the Sinai force that helps keep Israel and Egypt at peace. Now, on the slide that you see, the Sinai Peninsula. Now, most maps you see, it doesn't always depict the peninsula. But at the bottom, you'll see, you guys see the Red Sea? See, up there, and then you have the Gulf of Suez, and you'll also see at the top is the canal. They talk about that quite a bit on TV. But, you know, hey, that's where old Moses crossed a couple thousand years ago, and it's still in the news today. But the United States, that Sinai Peninsula is a big buffer zone. This is where arms deals and so forth were going through just even 4 years ago when President Mubarak was over Egypt. But that area has been full of peacekeepers for since 1979. 1979, that area, after the peace treaty was signed, there's been peacekeepers, not just from the UN, but predominantly the United States, who has 700 of them there. But as a result of what's been going on, now in the news, we've talked about that 4 weeks ago, President Sisi had talked with the United States, and you remember some delegates came over, he says, Can you please get a little tighter on Israel? Can you make them stop building? You guys remember that? In the occupied areas and non-occupied areas in Palestine? Old Palestine, you guys remember that? So the Palestinians say, we want you to stop, right? And Jerusalem and Israel say, no, this is ours. So Sisi's saying, yeah, but the Muslim Brotherhood and these Islamic groups are killing our government leaders. Y'all remember this, right? As a result of that, and the tensions that are now rising up in eastern Egypt, the United States has decided they're going to look at pulling out our peacekeepers out of that region. Okay, why is this such a big deal? Because the Bible says that Israel is going to be surrounded. Do you know that's the only border left that the United States is at? They're not at Lebanon to the north. They're not at Syria to the northeast. They're not in Jordan to the east. Egypt was it. They're going to start pulling away their peacekeepers for protection against Israel because of what's going on inside of Egypt itself. This land that you call, you can tell the vegetation is beautiful. It's a growing land. It's just cannabis plants. I'm just kidding. So, if that was in Oregon, there'd be cannabis plants everywhere. Okay, I'm just kidding. I'll edit that out later. All right, so you have, that is the region that they're at. Now, at the very top, that picture was taken from a soldier. See the barbed wire fence? And that's going to keep out ISIS. And that is this. Okay, so they have this on the border of Israel in the Sinai Peninsula. Okay, you just Okay, it's basically your old cyclone fences that you see in the backyards, right, with a little razor on top. They're going to be pulling people away from that and leaving the fence by itself. This same fence, and this is, I look back, I believe it was in May of this year, is Saudi Arabia. Remember Saudi Arabia? In an effort to stop ISIS from coming down on their northern border, they're going to be putting up the same fence. Now, my dog, Kelly's dog and the kid's dog, I'm allergic. But it's an 8-pound dog. It doesn't shed, so I can deal with it. But my dog could get through that fence. She's 8 pounds. She just goes like this, and she would just go right underneath. They're doing what they can, but it's not going to work. It's not going to work. We're going to talk about this some more in a second. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Okay, this is Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel. It says, Benjamin Netanyahu is in the North Country, which is in the Golan Heights region, the northeast country, not on the Lebanon side, which is the northwest, but the northeast, butting up to Syria. He said Khomeini just wrote the book, Palestine, and they just produced a video about how they're going to take over Jerusalem. So Benjamin Netanyahu's response was, Khomeini is making it clear that they're going to continue to fund terrorism. Well, and I will talk with people, how do you know that? That's just, you're just taking a Christian point of view. No, Khomeini just wrote a book. He wrote a book and says, I'm going to take out Israel. He goes on TV and says, I'm going to take out Israel. This is not a Christian propaganda. This is, you can just watch the news. This is what's going on. So as Iran, he said, makes it clear it will continue supporting proxies waging war against Israel, Iran said Russia would soon provide state-of-the-art S-300 anti-aircraft missiles. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited the North on Tuesday and pledged Israel would strike hard at those who try to harm it. The IDF is strong, Israeli Defense Force, and the state of Israel is strong and resourceful. We are ready for anything to come up against us. We will hit out against anybody who tries to harm us, regardless of who's for us. Netanyahu, accompanied by defense minister, took a firsthand look at the northern border. I want to show you where this northern border is at, just so you understand what's going on. Just gives you a mental picture. Right above the West Bank, see the West Bank? And that separates, that's the Palestinian old occupied, unoccupied areas. That's what they have right now. They want to encompass the pre-1969 borders to begin with. That's the purple area. But to the north is the Golan Heights. On the northeast region up to Syria. So this is where he is at, overseeing where not just ISIS, Hezbollah, Hamas, all these Islamic groups are coming in. Now, we're going to talk about a little bit more in our study tonight about who all these groups are. So when you hear this on TV, it's like, okay, well, how do I make sense of all that? And we're just going to kind of, in one fell swoop, take care of all that. But interesting enough, though, that it says, even as Netanyahu has argued continuously in recent weeks, that a significant part of the billions of dollars Iran will enjoy from sanctions relief. So their sanctions have been lifted, correct? So the relief as part of the nuclear deal will bolster not only their money, but give money to the terrorists to come up against Israel's borders. Russia, so they're getting money flooding in because they're relaxing, right, under sanctions. Russia, who, once again, we've talked about this, the rubles crashed, right? They're hyperinflation. They need money. They're selling missiles to Iran. Iran's got money. Sanctions are lifted. Isn't it interesting? Whoa, what a coincidence. No, it's the end times. Pastor, you say that for anything. Yeah, because we're in the end. That's what you call it. When you're in the fourth quarter of a game, it's the last quarter. That's what you call it. Why do you keep saying it's the fourth quarter? Because I'm looking at the clock, and it's the last 15 minutes around it. It's called the last quarter. When you're at the time of the end, you call it end times. So when you see these things start to happen, you go, this doesn't make any sense. Why would they do that? Interesting enough, Russia says that although in the past it didn't, it canceled its contract to deliver the S-3 anti-aircraft to Iran in 2010 because of pressure from the United States and the West. But now President Vladimir Putin lifted its self-imposed ban and no longer cares what the West thinks about Russia. So look for a new agreement with Russia too, because we'll probably hand over everything to them too. Okay, so as long as they say they're against us, well then come get us. So I'm sorry, I'll edit that out too. All right, that was just a little, that's just a little upset dialogue, and I apologize for that. I try not to be like that. Okay, Bangkok, you guys heard the bombs went off in Bangkok, right? Not because of a new year, but the bombs went off in Bangkok. And those were used by the same bombs, they already looked at it, those are the same used by Iranian terrorists. Well, why would they go into Thailand? Why would they do that? Because it's the time of the end, and they just called for the last caliphate, which means bring chaos everywhere. So you will see groups rising up all over the world to help bring the chaos. New details have emerged in Thailand. Investigation on the twin bombings in Bangkok. It happened Monday and Tuesday of this week. Killed 20 people, left 125 more wounded. What they didn't say originally on the report, which they said this morning, there was four more bombs that did not go off. According to police, the bomb expert at the Metropolitan Police Bureau said the first bomb, which detonated near the shrine, was improvised explosive. The other second one went off. There was four more. But this is a direct response to the Thai government's deportation of Chinese Muslim migrants in July. Why would governments shy away from dealing with Islamic people? Because they will strike back. It's fear, right? Bible says, don't have any fear. Why would he say that? Because the enemy is going around seeking who he may devour by causing fear. And this is, I'm not saying go out and try to get killed. I'm saying be wise, but to be absent from this body is be present with the Lord. Well, you can say that all you want, but no, I mean, that's true. If you believe the Bible to be true, that's what it says. All right. Oh, real quick, I just wanted some Thailand. Thailand, and this is just a part of understanding where the groups are now, these Islamic groups are more far-reaching than ever before. It's not just in the Middle East. As you can see, it's on the other side now, in really Southeastern Asia, down there in Bangkok, Thailand, off the Indian Ocean. So there's more, like I said, there's other things happening that they haven't associated with, just like not just our government, but other foreign governments. They don't always like to assign a group to an attack because it strikes fear into people. They say, oh, it's just a one-off thing, don't worry about it. But in this case, it says right off the bat, this is tied to an Islamic radical group. So, Istanbul, ISIS calls for the Turkish president Erdogan, an infidel, and urges followers inside of Turkey now to conquer Istanbul. Interesting. Didn't we just go over Istanbul 4 weeks ago? Which was formerly what? Constantinople and the Constantine Empire, right? This is what, so this, we talked about the importance of this, what happened there, the mosques that were built there, they took over the Catholic Church. I mean, this is what's going on now in Istanbul. Now, the president of Turkey has come up against some other bombings and killings inside of Turkey. And it says in the past, he has not wanted to mess with Islamic radicalization. But now speaking in his Turkish language, he told the country that he was going to start fighting the Islamic terrorists. But the message came back. Now, this came out across radio stations across Turkey. Now, this is from ISIS. It says, Turkish people, without losing any time, you have to rebel instantly against the atheists. The atheists are those who don't believe in Allah. You have to rebel against crusaders and infidels who have made you slaves. He also described the Kurdish militants in Turkey, the Kurds. We're going to look at this tonight again, but just as a quick reminder, in Iraq, you have the Sunnis and the Shias. To the northern Iraq is where the Christians, a remnant of Christianity is, and the Kurdish people are at. So he described the Kurdish people in Turkey, so that's that grouping that from Iraq that's come down into Turkey, to come up against them as well, because they're not Sunnis or Shias. This is how, like I said, this all comes together. And he warned, they said, Turkey, we will come up and attack Turkey as well. You know that Turkey's an end time prophecy? Did you know that Turkey's in all the empires that and the first six empires? I mean, this is all Bible, everyone. This is all exciting Bible. So once again, before we begin tonight, we just want to get it all out, right? Okay, here we go. All right. Okay. Feel better? God is good. Okay, here we go. You guys got your notes? Time of the End, part 7. Time of the End, part 7. Quick recap. Now, I want to fly through the first couple of pages. I may not hit word for word, but this is a recap, and I'm going to say it in such a way, like I said, maybe hit some highlights and different things that we've gone through to catch us up to speed, specifically now pertaining to last week. Muhammad claimed to be a prophet by revelation, right, through the prophet Gabriel. Now, Christians and Jews began to reject him. He was raised, his grandfather was over the Kaaba, if you guys remember that, and that's in Mecca, in Saudi Arabia. That's where he grew up, right? He was friendly towards the Christians and the Jews. Now, why was that back in the 600s? Because they had all these different empires going on, and there was a groupings of all different religions in that area. But he went through and crashed all the idols and the Kaaba, you know, guys remember the black stones on the corner. Then the Jewish tribes tried to kill Jewish tribes, and they began calling him a false prophet. Now, real quickly, a false prophet, you know what the Bible says, John says, Paul says, and Jesus said there's going to be false prophets at the time of the end? It's not limited to Islam. It's not limited to the prophet Muhammad. It's not limited to that. You have to watch everything. You have to watch out, pay attention. Now, Muhammad's wife, interesting enough, was Jewish. This is before he started Islam, okay? So his wife was Jewish. At age 62, while he and his friend were eating, she tried to poison him. His friend died, but he did not, but he became severely ill. Okay, just trying to catch up a little story. So the Arab people at that time, Arabia, right? Arab people, Arabia. The Arab people at that time who then migrated to the west and the north, they didn't like him so much. I mean, her so much. Or the Jewish people, they were calling him a false prophet, right? A Jewish woman, his wife, tried to kill him. You guys can see how, I mean, we get angry if someone takes our parking spot. So there's a little, that was a little joke. You can laugh. It's fine. I'll entertain myself. Okay, so So according to Islamic history, he never got his strength back, but it's not the only reason why he did not like the Jewish people, right? So there was much animosity from the beginning of really his walk in the desert, so to speak. He was kicked out of Mecca after he cleansed it in the Kaaba. He moved to Medina, which in Revelations, it says that the beast system, this one world religion and one world government, it says it will be over the oil in Medina. Isn't that crazy? 2,000 years ago? It says it's going to be over the oil in Saudi Arabia. So this beast system, wait, where is the guy who started Islam from? Where was his first conqueror? In Medina. Just saying. He continued to organize the Arab people under his leadership and then went back to Mecca and then took that over as well. So by the time of his death, there are thousands of groups all over the Middle East, Syria, Iraq, Iran, and Lebanon. Now, when Muhammad died, the religions split into two parts, and this is huge when you understand the news now. The two names are the Sunnis and the Shias, or the Shiites. Two groups. After Muhammad died, the group known as the Sunnis chose Muhammad's second convert to be their leader. The Shias chose Muhammad's cousin Ali and son-in-law. So that was the bloodline. The Shias are the bloodline of Muhammad. This is important to understand. They are known as the more aggressive or radicalized of the two Islamic groups. The Shiites and the Sunnis, that's what you will see. Every time you turn the news on in Iraq, they'll talk about that. They'll talk about that in Saudi Arabia. They'll talk about that even in Iran. I mean, all over, they talk about these two groups. Just so you understand, they're both wanting their end times guy, the Mahdi, to come. They don't like how they do certain things, right? Like, you know, once we talk about two religious groups, I'm not going to name two religious groups, but think about two religious groups in the Christian world. We all love Jesus, but we all have different ways of going about it, right? Some people want to jump up and down and run around and praise the Lord. Other people just sit there very stoic and they want to sing, okay? But we don't kill each other over it. We make fun of each other, but we don't kill each other. Okay, I'll edit that out too. And so you have the Sunnis following Abu and the Shiites following Ali. The Sunnis call it the Caliph, right? Meaning successor, political leader. So you have that, and they create caliphates. The Shias, now the same way the Shias, now the Shias, they have the Imams. So the goal in Islam is to get the world to unite under a one world caliphate. So this is the role of, this is the desire of the Shias and the Sunnis, just so you understand, is to get everyone under a one world rule, religion and government. It's both their desire, but they fight over, there's different things they're fighting over in the meantime. Now, they want to put a Muslim leader over an entire region, one at a time, right? They're strategically taking places over in Syria, eastern Syria, western Iraq, And they're going to strategically, they're going to start moving into Lebanon. But the outcome, if someone does not join, is the following. Currently, this is currently, radicalized Islam kills you if you don't convert. Other ones, like the Shias, they will say, listen, if you want to live in this area where we've created this caliphate, your business will be taxed, and you can't talk about any other religion, and you can't talk bad about Islam. So we went over the couple different caliphates, but the Shias branch of Islam, they chose Baghdad, while the Sunnis remained faithful to the area of Saudi Arabia, the bloodline. This is important. And there's 11 caliphs in that religion, and the 12th one is in hiding. You guys remember he went himself last week? He buried, the thing is, he went into the caves, right, in Iraq, and he hid himself. That is the 12th caliph, or the Mahdi is going to appear at some point. They're waiting for this guy for the last 1,000 years or whatever, just to show up. So this is where we're at. This is the one, though, and this Mahdi is the one that Muhammad and the Muslims say will come at the end of days or the end of time. This is the Quran. And out of his lineage or out of his family, he will convert the entire world to the Islamic religion. So out of his bloodline, now at the end of time, they believe there will be a terrible time as well, and they're going to have to be rescued by Islamic justice by a man called the Mahdi. Now in the beliefs of the Muslims, not just one particular Sunni or Shia group, but all Muslims, they believe that they will rule the world. So don't make any mistake about it. This is not a peaceful thing that's going on. You have moderates, but then you have the radicalized. The radicalized, as the time gets closer, is going to be more predominant. How do I know that? Because the Bible says so. It says his spirit's going to be lifting away. He's going to allow things to happen. He's going to allow a shaking to take place. There's going to be a separation in the church of God from sheep and goats. People who know the word, study the word, want to believe in the word, and people who are afraid and just want to go the way of the world. It's like, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. Now, when Saddam was killed and hung in Iraq and bin Laden was shot and killed and dumped in the sea, many felt that Al-Qaeda was defeated. You had reports, not just in the United States, but all over, says Al-Qaeda has been defeated. Now, why do they say Al-Qaeda? ISIS is coming out of Al-Qaeda. Okay, so but Al-Qaeda was the bigger organization, and ISIS wasn't even really even spoken of at that time when that took place. Our president who talked about this, and last week I made reference to Revelation 13:3. It's still in your notes. I want to read this and understand it. I saw one of his heads. Now, in previous verses, we studied this for 3 weeks. Remember what he says, and I saw 10 heads rising out, the beast rising up out of the ocean, and this vast area all around, and he had rep in 10 heads, 10 representatives, 10 heads, I saw those. So he picks it up in verse 3, and one of the heads, one of the 10, was wounded to death, and this deadly wound was healed, and all the world then wondered after the beast, the system of the beast, not the Antichrist, the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is like unto this caliphate? Does everyone understand this now? You got to understand, there's Antichrist, the beast. This beast is a system. This 10 nations, what is the 10 nations? The 10 nations, what rises up against Israel at the beginning of the tribulation, a 10-nation coalition. Is this all starting to ring? Okay. This 10-nation coalition, 42 months into it, is going to sign an agreement with the Antichrist. So last week we left off with ISIS, which is an acronym for the Islamic State of Iraq. We're going to go into that a little bit more tonight. And we started talking about the black flags or banners. So in the Muslim world, when you see the black banners, it means the time of the end is coming. That doesn't mean so in the Bible. It means so in the Quran. So I want you to understand this. This is so important. Islam is trying to say we are going to take over Israel and set up shop in Jerusalem. That is their desire. This is what they're writing books on, shooting videos on. They're telling you this is what we're doing. Jesus said, know the time of the season and what we're living. There is going to be, okay, I'm going to get ahead. Okay, all right. I'm going to try to go in this order here. It is important to know this because when you understand the two groups, the Sunnis and the Shias, you will understand ISIS. Because one gets worse, 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 and builds up to an ISIS. When you understand ISIS, you'll see how it's setting the platform for the Antichrist. Now, the War of Gog and Magog. War of Gog and Magog. These are previous lessons that you can get. This is specifically speaking Ezekiel 38, 39. This happens right around the time of the rapture. There are 10 nations specifically listed in Ezekiel that will come up against Israel. They will be defeated. When that is defeated, the seventh empire begins that John spoke of in Revelation 17. But for time's sake, I just want to give you the scripture reference right there, because this is stuff that we've went over in previous weeks. That seventh empire, right in the Bible, it says it lasts for 1,260 days, 3.5 years. The two witnesses appear during that 3.5 years during a time of peace in the Middle East. Because they try to come up against Israel. The word says in Ezekiel that a time of peace came upon them because they knew they couldn't defeat it because God was on Israel's side. 3.5 years into the tribulation, the Bible says that these 10 nations sign over to the Antichrist and said, now let's go over and attack Israel. Revelation 17, 12. The 10 horns or 10 heads observed the 10 rulers, kings put together, they'd receive power and authority as rulers for a single hour along with the beast. They have one common policy and purpose, deliver power and authority to the beast. We're coming up to this system. Our whole thing is we want to have, remember the beast in the Bible, this is the Bible now, the Bible says the beast is a one world government and a one world religion, right? A caliphate in Islam is a one world government and a one world religion. So the Bible is saying that there's 10 nations around Israel that are going to form a one world religion, a one world government called the beast. The Quran calls it a caliphate. You can watch videos and read books about how they're going to do it. It's interesting, the books that they're reading, the videos that you watch coming out of Iran and from the Sunnis and ISIS, they're saying exactly how they're going to do it, and the countries they're going to take over is exactly what the Bible says is how it's going to happen. The Bible says he doesn't want us caught unaware up to the time of Jesus returning. So why are we looking at this? Because we don't want to be caught unaware. Just Revelation 17, 16. The 10 horns, which we saw upon the beast, they shall hate the whore or the apostate Christianity church at that time. Remember, 3.5 years have passed, and there was, according to Islam, an apostate church, which the Bible in plurality talks about, it's apostate to even the Christians. It's a form. It's a different form of Christianity. And shall wipe and make her desolate, naked, eat the flesh. That's a quick clip, because if you go back 3 weeks ago, it's all in there about how it's Rome, Italy. You guys remember, we studied that. It's right in the scriptures. It said after 3.5 years, the system, the beast, is going to wipe out the religion, which is centered in Rome, Italy. The Antichrist then will take over Jerusalem, killing the two witnesses laying in the streets, and then they're going to pop up after 3.5 days. Daniel, Old Testament now. So where is the new, after 3.5 years, where is the beast, this system, going to be set up? Where's its headquarters? They're going to plant the tabernacles of his new palace or headquarters between the seas and the glorious holy mountain, Jerusalem. Interesting. The Quran says, at the time of the end, the Mahdi comes in, and then Jesus, Isa, however you want to pronounce that, he comes in. They trick the apostate Christians who had just been wiped out in Rome, Italy, signing, getting them to take the beast, get the number of the beast, and coming into Jerusalem. Revelation 13:16. This is the caliphate and the chip now. He's going to cause everyone, small, great, rich, and poor, free, and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or their foreheads, so that no man can buy or sell who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. It doesn't say if you have a medical chip. I want you to understand that people will, well, I have a medical chip. If that chip is to have the name of the mark because of the system of the beast and the number of his name, that is 666. We talked about that. I'm not going to spend time on that tonight in verse 18, but that is a representative of apostate Christianity that is now formed into Jerusalem and this caliphate, and because Esau is attached to it, and then also with the religion and a slave to it. So that, once again, this is a quick, so this is how it's all going to, it's going to come in. So now, modern day Iraq. Let's go back to Iraq now. This is where the black banners are coming in. We're understanding the Sunnis and the Shias. Now we're going back to 2006. Everyone with me? Modern day Iraq. What's going on now? So 2006, the United States helped a man named Nour Ali Maliki, who is a Shia. Shia is a direct line from Muhammad, bloodline. His strengths were more with Iran than in other nations. So because they butted up to Iran, the United States thought it was a wise idea. Once again, the United States, as a government, we don't get in, they don't sit there and go, hey, let's study end time prophecy before we help this guy put into position. Right? They don't sit there and go, hey, Bob, what do you think? Hey, call Joel Rosenberg real quick. What does he think? Let's call a pastor. Let's see, you know, they're doing this to say, hey, this makes sense to us. Thinking wise, right? The Bible says thinking wise unto themselves, they became fools. So they put a man who had good relations with Iran. Now, why would someone have good relations with Iran? You are who you hang out with, right? So because Iran was in that thing, so you know what? He can communicate so well with them, and who cares what his background is? Oh, I think you should care. I put a little biography of Maliki. He was elected prime minister once again, 06. This is the United States behind him, helping push. I'm not slamming the United States. This is where we live. This is what happened here. His government succeeded the transitional government in Iraq. His first cabinet was approved by the National Assembly. He was the interior minister, acting defense minister. He began his political career as a Shia descendant under Saddam Hussein. Okay. He began under Saddam Hussein, then he bolted and took off. Built relationships with Iran and Syria officials, whose help he sought in overthrowing Saddam. Well, okay, so then he's good or he's bad, or it's the confusing part, isn't it? Is he good? Is he bad? Is he bad for government? Is he good for religion? Is he an end times guy? Is he not an end times? How does he figure in? So this is the part of, we're just looking at this picture and trying to understand where it lines up. When he came to power and the United States began to pull the troops out of Iraq, the idea was to form a constitution there. The United States wanted to bring the idea of the United States to Iraq. Works for us, right? Let's just bring it everywhere. It doesn't typically work in the Middle East. They wanted to let the Kurds, which is to the north, along with the Christians, which are in the northern part of Iraq, Sunnis and Shias come in. At first, it looked like it was going to place. It got excited. Everyone was in agreement representing these groups. But when he took over, instantly began to kick out the Sunnis and surround themselves with the Shias. With more progressive, with more radicalized group. Now remember, when Muhammad died, Islam split into two parts. It's right there in that box for you. The Sunnis chose a leader who is the second convert, but the Shias are the direct bloodline from Muhammad, right? And there's a lot more information on that, but that's all we should, I don't think we need to concern ourselves with too much more than that. Many of the Sunni towns, and this goes back in the news, it's like when you hear something, it's like, well, what's the big deal? This is why it's a big deal. The Sunni town, see, when you think it's a bad decision or good decision on the United States part, the UN part, the EU, allies, anything like that, do you know that God's still in control? Whether it's a good idea or bad idea, God is still in control. Ultimately, God says he's working all things out for our good. And interesting enough, not everything is about you and me. Isn't that terrible to think that way? Not everything is about us. Pastor Dennis, is that not a terrible thing to think? Not everything is about us. Well, I wouldn't have done it that way. God's saying, I don't really care. Why? Because he knows the end, and we don't. He knows how it's supposed to take place. He's looking out for us, and we think you're not, oh, God, I wouldn't have done that. He goes, I don't really care. Don't. I'm working out for you. You have no idea what's going on. So the Sunnis, many of the Sunni towns, were not being taken care of in Iraq by the monies that were coming over from the United States. Why? Because the leader that they helped get in, as soon as he got in, he goes, ooh, bad Sunnis, I'm for the Shias. This other group of Islam, which ISIS is going to come alongside. ISIS didn't like what was going on. ISIS was more in alignment with them. Well, then we should have gave, then the United States should have made sure that the Sunnis were getting their money, then ISIS never would have came along. That's not how it works. God's orchestrating everything. He's allowing things to happen. So ISIS first started working in Syria to overthrow the government there. ISIS has now moved into the borders, into Iraq, and are taking over city after city. Every time you turn on the news, they're taking over another city. Now, I'm not saying you have to have a flow chart and look at all the cities and, you know, have a little thermometer filled up, and when it gets to the top, that's the time Jesus is coming. That's not how this works, everyone. But I did a map there for you. It's on the bottom of that page. These are the areas are there under ISIS-controlled areas now. They are taking land very quickly. What should that tell me? It's because the Bible says that this great group is going to come down. The bigger this gets, the closer. You understand? The bigger it gets, the closer. The bigger, the closer. The bigger, the closer. So even as Iraq and Syria, now they're mainly to the north right now, but as they start moving to the south, see where the south is, Jordan and Saudi Arabia, that is where that big fence is going to stop them. Okay, that'll hold back the time of Christ's return just a little bit. That fence is just going a little back. So, see, we can laugh about this stuff, right? Okay, the news has reported that ISIS, if you watch the news, and you can get, I don't care if it's CNBC, MSNBC, Fox News. Oh, by the way, just a reminder, Fox News is not a Christian TV program. Just so you know. Are you bashing Fox? No, I watch Fox. I'm just saying, it's not a Christian news organization, just so you know. Oh, either is MSNBC. Oh, CNN's not Christian either. NBC, CBS, guess what? I don't think any of them are Christian news organizations. So if you're looking for end times news, you have to read this first to get the news of what they're saying. This is where you get it from, and then their news actually makes sense. If you take their news without this, you get scared. And you turn the TV off. If you take this and watch the news, you go, oh my goodness, we're getting closer. Look, they're taking more land. They're taking more land. God's in control, everyone. Don't have to be scared. So the branch of Al-Qaeda although it was once true that ISIS was a branch, Al-Qaeda says, we don't want anything to do with ISIS anymore. They're too radical for us. ISIS is too radical for Al-Qaeda. They think, this is so funny. I was watching some video clips over the weekend, and there's the Al-Qaeda guys are actually on this, says, and they had the translation at the bottom. It says, we don't want anything to do with them. He says, ISIS is way too violent. You know, Al-Qaeda just slaughters people all the time, and they're saying, ISIS, we don't want you to associate us with them. They're bad. Just, okay. The point is that ISIS is fanatical and radical, and they're armed. Okay, it's not, I mean, we're laughing right now, but listen, this is important stuff. It's important to keep in mind as we talk about this. The Kurds, and there's a picture now, the Kurds are in the north, Sunnis in the middle, the Shias are in the south. Sunnis more moderate, Shias more radicalized. This is where 2006, wham, he sided with the southeast region, which butts up right with Syria. This is where the borders are crossing. ISIS has announced that they have formed a new group, a caliphate. How do I know that? They've held press conferences saying that this is a new group. How else do I know that? Because their flags represent the last caliphate right out of the Quran. So they're announcing every time you see that flag, we are the new group, we are the caliphate, the end times group that are going to usher in this region, I mean this time of the end. Iraq and Syria is predominantly Islamic, except for just a few pockets, as we even looked up in Iraq in the north, is where the Kurds are at. Half of Lebanon is Islamic, 98% of Iran is Islamic. So I just want you to understand this region, okay? This is the region that ISIS is predominantly in this area right now. So why would you want to form an Islamic state, this Islamic caliphate, when these four countries are already in total Islamic control? Or the populations are majority Islamic, right? So what are you trying to do? We're all Islamic. You're trying to conquer us. You're ISIS. You're the Islamic state, right? Syria, this doesn't make any sense, or Iraq, and you're trying to, why are you doing this? Because this isn't about a particular branch of Islam. This is the part of a plan, and it's not the only thing about making one head now. It's about uniting all the heads. This is about uniting all the heads of state. This is ISIS speaking now. The idea behind what we're doing is to unite all the heads. Oh, wait, hold on, the heads. Wait, let's go. Revelation says, and I saw the heads coming out. These leaders, the heads of state, coming out. Now, what they're trying to do is they're going to come up against to defeat the West. ISIS wants to defeat the West. Great Britain, England, France, United States, and Israel. Now, you see other chaotic things taking place, as you just saw in Thailand tonight and all throughout the Western regions. But ISIS wants to get into Israel with an overpowering army and take over Jerusalem. So why does, though, ISIS want to get into Israel and Jerusalem specifically? Why does it want to come in? Why is Benjamin Netanyahu so protective of that northern border? Why is it that the United States, that God is allowing us to pull troops out of the Sinai Peninsula? So once again, I don't choose the current events because they're just kind of fun. It's always kind of lines up with what we're talking about. It's just like, what is this? Because what it does is enforces God's word. ISIS wants to go into and take Jerusalem. It's because it's their third most holiest site because it contains the Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque. There are two pictures there that show those two mosques. You guys see that? Dome of the Rock and Al-Aqsa Mosque. Revelations 13:1, it's not in your notes, but I just want to read this real quick to you. Revelations 13:1. As I stood upon the sand of the sea, this is John writing, I saw a beast, a system, right, a grouping of people, or heads, rise up out of the sea, Seven heads, 10 horns. Remember, three were killed and three were replaced. So later on, it goes back into the 10 heads. And upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. So somewhere along the line, there was names of blasphemy written on these nations or heads and representatives of these people popping up in the nations against Israel. Across their foreheads were written names of blasphemy. I just want you to think about that. Just put that footnote in your head. So John saw this, that on their foreheads was written names of blasphemy. According to the Bible, blasphemy is when someone doesn't believe that God is the only true God, right? And that God has no son. The Bible says that in 2 John and Revelations. We'll get back to that in a second. These two mosques are considered the third holiest sites in Islam. They are surrounded by Christians and Jews, which the Muslims feel and say that they're infidels. They don't like it. They don't like it that they're in that area. In Saudi Arabia, if you were to walk into Mecca or Medina right now, you cannot walk around with a Bible. You can't walk around with a Christian t-shirt. You can't walk around with, a 1988 t-shirt, Toby Mac. You can't even do that. You can't talk about Jesus in those parts of the world without being persecuted, possibly killed. It ain't going to happen. You just don't do that. But that's what ISIS or Islam, the radicalized groups from Hezbollah to Hamas to Al-Qaeda, that's what they want in Jerusalem. They want that system set up in a sacred city, which is the third most holiest in the Islam faith. That's why there's all this fighting going on there continuously. See, there's wars going on. You know, there's back in the 70s, you know, they threw rocks at each other all the time. Remember? It's on the news, and they would throw rocks and different things. And now they're lobbing bombs in there and from the Gaza Strip and onto the east side where old Samaria and Judea were. Then over here in Iraq, where all the Bible stories took place, now you have fighting continuously taking place over there. In Saudi Arabia, you have fighting continuously going on over there. It's happening everywhere. The Bible says, Luke 17, Matthew 24, when you see these things exponentially starting taking place, not just wars, but rumors of wars and things, lift up your head. So it's not just in Jerusalem anymore where they're throwing rocks. It's increasing exponentially. Now, according to Islamic traditions, I want to make sure this is clear, not according to the Bible. A couple weeks ago, when we talked about some Greek mythology, you guys remember that? We talked about Europa. And I had to clarify that because somebody said, is that the Bible? No, it's not. Zeus is not in the Bible. It's Greek mythology, okay? Now, what we're about to say is Islamic traditions. This is stuff right out of the Quran and the Hadith. But according to Islamic traditions, Syria has to go into a major war and has to fall. This is right out of the Quran. Syria has to go into a major war, and it has to be taken down. We're not going to go into this tonight, but Isaiah touches on about Damascus. There's something that's going to take place. You know, there's a war that the Bible says is going to take place at the end of time. There was one that took place in Isaiah 17, and it said a second one is going to take place at the end of time. We're going to fully go into that. We're not going to go into that tonight, but according to Islamic traditions, Syria has to go through the same thing. Why is all the fighting going on in Syria? Well, yeah, I mean, why is Syria? Is it their great land there? I mean, is it someone just wants a good subdivision? Is it they just want to build a football stadium there? I mean, why are they? No, it's because it's their Islamic traditions. That Syria has to fall. Why does it have to fall? So the Mahdi comes. Why? So they can have Allah here. There's a reason they're picking Syria. So the United States is trying to slap sanctions on, the UN's trying to slap this on, and peace fighters like that. But this one world caliphate wants to take Syria out. They're going to keep going, until it's taken out. Why? That is their goal. And they will achieve it. How do I know that? Because the Bible says they will. Are you guys okay tonight? I mean, it's okay. Okay, you getting this? It's like, okay. I get really excited about this. I'm hoping I'm doing a good justice explain this. So, Syria and Iraq must submit to the coming Mahdi of Islam. Both of these nations will be joined together as one. This is according to Islamic traditions. Oh, it just so happens that the guy that took over in 2006 opened the borders to Syria for ISIS to come in. So the Islamic traditions said in order for the Mahdi to come, Iraq and Syria have to join together. They have to take down the existing regime that's in Syria. Oh, that's what they're trying to do. Now, this is where most of the major battle zones have been taking place, right? When you turn on the news, this is what Syria's been on the news now for 4 years. And amazingly, it is right in the heart of Islam or the Beast Kingdom. Where this is taking place, because we're working towards, where does the Bible talk about where the Antichrist is coming from? Where is this beast system coming from? Where is all this coming? It's right at the heart. This whole area is right at the heart of an end time beast kingdom that's going to rise up and come down. Syria has been in a terrible civil war now for 4 years. 140,000 people have been reported being slain already. Now, to the west of them is Turkey. We talked about Turkey a couple weeks ago. And as well tonight, remember, someone wants to take out Istanbul? Okay. Now, here's some quotes from the Turkish Grand Sheikh. This is what he had to say. As believers of the traditions, the Quran and the Hadith, we believe in a Savior who will come first before Jesus. That's translated for, or Esau, ISA. Remember, that's their guys coming too. That's where he's going to deceive many. We have in our traditions his name, which is Muhammad Mahdi. The Mahdi is coming, but his arrival will be after a great war. It will be in the fight of the big powers with each other. In that war, the Savior will come like a divine hand from heaven to the earth and stop the war. So they believe that they have to get the East and the West in a fight with each other to bring the Mahdi. Does everyone understand this? This is their book says, their Quran says, you have to initiate a war between the West, Great Britain, France, the United States, and the East, the Middle East. You have to get them against each other in order for the 12th Caliph, who's somewhere 700 feet down in a cave for the last couple thousand years, he's been hiding. He's going to pop up. He went on to say, the great war will break out between the East and the West. They will be very difficult days for mankind. Once again, sounds like the Bible. Remember? And these thoughts or traditions were written down by the followers of Muhammad 600 years after the writings that Jesus had in the Bible. He said, the Lord will command Mahdi to appear, or Allah will command him to appear. Now he's in a cave, in a big deep cave. No one can approach him. Genies or spirits are protecting and guarding him. This is their end time. This is what goes out on their national news. This is their heads of, so you have your heads of state who handle the political side, and then their heads of the religious side, okay, of these states. Now remember, bin Laden held out in a cave. Last week, bin Laden and Saddam Hussein were not the Antichrist. They were not former heads. These were two people who people thought they could have been the Mahdi. Right? Now you're talking a long time ago with Saddam, and now even with more recently, bin Laden. Why? Bin Laden hid out in a cave. The tradition said that the Mahdi would come in a cave. He was trying to portray himself as this Mahdi. This is why I still believe, and why the other people believe, he was hiding out in the desert. He was trying to bring this end times Islamic caliphate to pass. Does everyone understand that? So they're trying to stir it up. They're trying to make it happen. Bin Laden was also responsible for the Afghanistan war that took place. He helped fight and keep off the Russians for 10 years. If you saw Rambo 3, that was part of the Afghanistan-Russian war. I just throw that in there for you because it's really excellent. Okay, so we, the United States, were in there looking for him and couldn't find him for years. And what happened? The doctor turned him in his location. This is how we got him at the end. So if you look at what bin Laden did, he was charismatic. He initiated the war in the West. Look what he did over in this country. And he tried to set himself up as the Mahdi of Islam, but he failed and he's dead. He's gone. So he wasn't it. But he tried to stir up the emotions because the people are saying, man, we're waiting for this Mahdi to show up. And bam, let's get this war going. So ISIS, what is ISIS? Bin Laden was also the one who got the black banners going, even though that was written in the Hadith and the Quran. He's the one that got them going again because he started the time of the end. He started kicking this off. He initiated the uprisings that you're looking at today, not just in Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran, Lebanon, Syria. He was behind that. Those were his groups. So ISIS is the Islamic State of Iraq. It is a group of radical Sunni Muslims. Now, every week we build on that so you fully understand what's going on. Why did this guy in 2006 side with the Sunnis? Why did the Sunnis just happen to be in the southeast corner of Iraq, which happens to butt up to Syria? God's got a plan, allowing things to happen. ISIS crucifies not only Christians, but anybody. They behead anybody now. They line up women, children, putting them in cages on TV, setting them on fire. They're beheading people at the beach. They're opening ditches up. This is the most radicalized thing that this world has seen in centuries, is what's taking place. They rob banks, which doesn't get a lot of press on TV. Their killing does, but what they're doing is they're robbing banks, taking billions of dollars in gold and silver coins and currencies out of banks all overseas. They're funding the war. They're funding the war. So you have this Islamic group, ISIS, funding their own stuff, right? In addition to that, Iran is getting money from the release of sanctions, buying, and we're going to talk about this in a second. It's going to blow your mind. You're going to see what's going to happen with Iran. But the Islamic State of Iraq is operating in eastern Syria and western Iraq. It's a jihad or jihadist movement. Those are some terms, like I said, I just want us to come familiar with some of these, the caliph, the jihad, caliphate. There's different degrees of jihad and definitions in Islam, but in the radicalized one, it means war for the Islamic faith. So when someone says, I'm a form of jihad, this is the final jihad. The caliphate is the one world religion and government, the caliphate. How do you bring that upon? By starting a jihad. Does everyone understand that? The jihad is the war for the Islamic faith to bring on the caliphate. So when you hear people say, man, they started a jihad, that means a war for the Islamic faith on the TV. When it says a caliph, that means he's over a region. The imam, over a region for the Sunnis. A caliphate, one world government, one world religion. The Bible calls that the beast, right? So the last S in ISIS comes from the Arabic word meaning the Levant or Syria and sometimes Damascus. Now, well, how can it mean all three of those? Because Levant covers that whole region, and Damascus is inside of Syria. At different times, when you say that S covers for, it's when they refer to that, it's in the region of the Levant, specific, always, and that's, I put in there what Levant is. It's a geographical term using the large area of Eastern Mediterranean, extending from Greece to Cyrenaica. The Levant in English is the French. So it's basically covering the whole eastern part of the Mediterranean, going out as far as northern Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Iran. Is everyone? So you got from the Mediterranean, which is Israel, whoosh, blown out to the far east as far as Afghanistan. Now, ISIS is being led by a group of al-Baghdadi. When ISIS began its fighting in Mosul, which is in Iraq, they started killing Shiite Muslims or anyone who stood against Saddam. So Saddam was not for the Shias, he was for the Sunnis as well. He was born in Samarra, Iraq. That was in your notes 4 weeks ago, that map. He wants that city. It was the city which the people now there oppose how he was raised. So you will watch Samara on the news. They will talk about the fighting that's going on in there, about wiping out infidels. Why is it? Because the head of the ISIS, that's where he's from. He wants that back. He wants his hometown. Now, in that region, in order for Christians to live, what has happened in the past is, once again, Sharia law, they had to pass, or a caliphate, they had to pay, and not a Sharia law, a caliphate. They have to have strict Islamic laws, pay a tax to live there. But in the Hadith, this is what the Hadith had to say about this. Once again, it's Quran and the Hadith. They're both books that they use in Islam. In the Hadith, it says, when Thawbon, the messenger of Allah, Muhammad, bless him, peace be unto him. That's the salutation for this. Okay, so in the Hadith, it says, here is this person, and when you see the black banners, this is right in the Hadith, coming from Khorasan, then go to them, even if it means crawling over the snow. The deputy of Allah, the Mahdi, will be among them. It is also reported that Muhammad said the black banners will come from the east and their hearts will be as firm as iron. Not in your notes, Khorasan. Khorasan is a region that encapsulates the northern part of Iran and Afghanistan. The area of Khorasan encapsulates the northern part of Iran, Afghanistan, and portions of Pakistan. So in the Hadith, which is very similar to that to the Quran, once again, these are just writings and sayings of Muhammad, it says, when you see the black banners, so they wrote the black banners, right? When you see the black banners coming, get ready because the Mahdi is coming. So why do you see the black banners on TV? It's letting everyone know, get ready because the Mahdi is getting ready to come. And when you see him coming, where is this firm as iron going to be coming from? Khorasan. Okay. This doesn't mean the Antichrist. You remember, this is the Mahdi is the forerunner in their religion, right? In their traditions, he's the forerunner. So something is going to go out before to help instigate the time of the end for the Islamic people. Everyone understand this? Where's that going to come from? The area they're saying is Khorasan. Who did we just sign the... Wait, who's the nuclear deal with? Khorasan. The reason Iran wants this deal, the reason they are so brazen saying we're going to take out the United States, we're going to take this, because this is what their Hadith and Quran said they're supposed to do. Iran is supposed to go make this deal with the United States. Do you understand? They're supposed to do this. This is just some crazy guy says, yeah, I want to make a deal. No, this has been planned. You guys, this is the time of the end. Why? The ISIS is over going here. They're working here. They're working here. These are religious-run countries. They're not run politically. They're run by religion. What is that religion? Islam. Are you guys, there should be a light bulb just popping off right now. I was like, oh, my goodness. So they're saying that this initiation of the time of the end, wait, nuclear power is going to help initiate this? Oh, according to Zechariah, it says, I saw nuclear power come in. Skin was melting off people's faces and eye sockets and tongues before they could hit the ground. Oh, my goodness. Like, okay, it's 5 minutes. We're doing good. Oh, I'm so happy with myself. Okay. So here's the point. It was predicted centuries ago with Muhammad that a nonstop army will be coming from the area of Khorasan holding black flags at the time of the end. You don't think Iran is a nonstop? They just keep coming. They're making deals. They're getting missiles from Russia. They're striking deals with the UN and the United States. But what about Iraq? Oh, yeah. There's something going over in Iraq. Why? Because there's a coalition of 10 nations that are going to come up against Israel. The coalition. It's not just one. This one's got to do this one. This one's responsible for this. This one's doing this. So the closer it gets, you're going to see each nation doing their part. Syria has had civil war for years. Why? Because the Bible says, not the Bible, the Quran says that Syria has to come down. They're creating war inside of Syria so it comes down. Why? So it can join with Iraq. Well, the Bible says that has to happen because the coalition has to come up against Israel. ISIS, you will see it's on the, I believe it's in the preceding, but yeah, it's the next page. On every single truck, you will see sometimes on the hoods of their trucks, sometimes on the side, like you would see like on the side of your truck, say, hey, that guy has a lawn care business, and they have the magnet on the side. These guys have black ISIS flags. So it's a little bit different. But on every single truck you'll see when they go through town, not every single person has it, but you'll see each vehicle because then everyone in that vehicle is with ISIS. That's how they are identifying themselves. When they take over a city, you'll see there pictured as well, ISIS plants black flags in the bottom left-hand side. You'll see that flag. So they, when they take over a city, that city's representation is now gone because it belongs to ISIS. There's no more cities anymore. It's a one world rule. ISIS. It's one world caliphate. According to Islamic traditions, the army will conquer several occupied lands until it lines up with the Mahdi and takes the city of Jerusalem. So in order to line up with the Mahdi, who's going to be coming out of Iraq, the Quran says they need help from Khorasan, which is Iran. Is this starting to make sense, everyone? So when you see, then why are they doing all this? Because they have a plan. You know the enemy has a plan to come up against you and I? See, we look at the little things and say, oh, you know, the enemy comes up against us from finances to marriage to things in your head. He attacks your thought life and everything like that. It says take captive every single thought. Think about what's true, pure, and lovely. And we go all through this. So if we know he can do it in this part of our life, don't you think he can do it in other parts of the world? See, this plan, though, has been going on since the beginning of time. When Lucifer got kicked out of heaven, there was a plan initiated. Jesus wrote in the scriptures, and we're always referred to the Old Testament as well. God has had a plan long before Satan had a plan. God's plan is way better. So when we go through this night, say, well, Pastor, what, you're focusing a lot on this because you have to, it's when you know this plan, it to me, it makes more sense. It's like, wait, this has to happen. This has to happen. I don't have to scream and get mad at governments and militaries because this has to happen. You guys see this? This has to happen. Because they will not stop. The enemy will not stop until he takes Jerusalem. And guess what? He's going to get Jerusalem. But then God takes it back. So it's like, oh, you look at me and go, oh, no. Yeah, he's going to take it. The Bible says so. We read it in Revelations. The last 42 months, the Antichrist takes over and sets up the one world religion and government, the caliphate, the beast, headquartered for 42 months in Jerusalem. It is going to be taken back. But then God wipes everything out. Why? He comes back with you and I. Whoosh, gone. Two types, and we'll finish with this. Two types of Islamic banners that are pictured. It's the black and white flags. For my failure of a linguistical study and regarding the Arabic flags, I will not try to pronounce those. But the flag, the first one is used in the Muslim army. I'm sorry, the second one is made of the black wool with the white writing. The first flag is the Islamic flag of the Islamic State. The writings that appear on the flags and on the headbands say, there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. Muhammad is prophet. We say, God, and Jesus is the Son of God. They're saying there is no Son of God, and there's only the prophet, right? Muhammad. So the names of blasphemy that we're going to go over that referred to in Revelations 13:1. If you have your Bibles, turn to Revelations 13:1 real quick. Revelations 13, it's at the end of your Bible, to the far right. Revelations 13, verse 1. We're going to pick up, like I said, next week where we left off with these two flags. When you see these flags everywhere, there's a white and a black flag. representing two different parts, but you'll see them on the cars, the trucks, as they take these cities. So when you're watching the news, they're going through Syria, they're going through in Iraq, and they're blowing cities out, and they put these flags up everywhere. Once again, it signals the time of the end and reminds them. So Revelation 13:1, this is what the Bible, this is what John saw 2,000 years ago. He stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, a beast, a system, right? And we already talked about in Revelation 13, 17, 10 heads. Having seven heads, 10 horns, don't get caught up in that. There's upon his horn, 10 crowns, and upon his heads, the names of blasphemy. Upon his head, the names of blasphemy. In the book, and we'll go through John next week, it says what blasphemy is. This is the Bible. Blasphemy says when there's more than one true God, and when they say that Jesus is not the Son of God. That's blasphemy. Okay? The Bible says you will see these nations of the beast rising up at the end of time with names of blasphemy on their foreheads. When you look at the, when they wear their little head dressings and they tie them up these across the top, it actually says that. And in that writing that you'll see on the black and white flags, it says there is no God but Allah and he only has the prophet. There is no son of God. That is the blasphemy that John saw from the nations that would come up against Israel at the time of the end. In the Quran and the Hadith, it says this is what they have to do at the time of the end. Do you see this now? They were writing this after the Bible was already written. God said this is what's going to happen. And they're saying, hey, you guys, this is how we need to usher in the time of the end. God is always so much looking out for us, and you and I should be able to sleep at night knowing that God is for us and he's not against us. He is not trying to hide anything. In the book of Daniel, Old Testament, he said, now seal it up, be done with it until the end of time. Then what did John say in Revelations? He said, now let's open this thing back up, and I'm gonna give you every single mystery and let you see. This is the divine mystery that's been hiding. Here is the whole thing. That's why we're going through Revelations. You guys get this?